Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the food guys. We live in Montana. When people talk about fake meat, meat substitutes, I think it just goes right over our heads because why bother? Who doesn't want to eat some meat?
There are people who choose to be vegetarians.
Right.
But presented with fake meat, and we have to explain what we mean by fake meat, they're very open to it.
You were telling me now that it's a really big deal in China.
It's very big in China, and they become very specialized there. One time when Dorothy and I were there, we went to a Buddhist eatery. What was so interesting about it was that every fake meat really tasted like the meat it was trying to represent. So, for example, duck, a red meat,
sure.
It looked red, and it had the texture that you would expect. And it also had a very similar flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had pork, also a red meat, but much paler. That was also incredibly realistic. They had some chicken. They had some fish. These were all
fish,
all made from soy. And they've actually been able to figure out the right fibrous quality of the meat and which direction the fiber is running in.
Is that right?
It's quite amazing. There are scientists who have been working on this for decades.
You have to create the mouthfeel,
and,
too.
And the texture is a big deal in determining whether a product tastes like real meat or not. Satisfying the stringy texture one gets from pulling apart chicken strips, they have to figure out how they're going to do that. And they have found ways, the scientists have found ways to mimic that quality in fake meat by using soy protein.
Mm-hmm.
What they point out is that soy protein, its structure is initially globular. So it must be broken down, denatured, to make it more fibrous, more elongated.
Yeah.
They first expose the soy protein to heat and then some kind of a solvent or acid before it is reshaped with a food extruder.
I see.
And that has to be the right amount of moisture.
Sort of like a pasta maker.
Yes,
almost.
Kind of like a pasta maker. They can do this in the laboratory.
You can't come up with purple meat and hope that people will like that.
Unless they like it rare. But they do add dyes. They do add colors, and sometimes it's a natural vegetable color. They use soy flour. They use pea flour. They also use carrot fiber, which also helps to add into the fibrous quality. And they also add gluten-free flour to emulate the fibrous quality in fake meat. And that's using a wet extrusion process. So you get a nice fibrous chicken imitation.
What about the umami effect?
The umami effect is the feeling that you are actually eating meat. And you can get this from the Maillard reaction, which we have talked about, which is a reaction between sugar and amino acids. And so when you heat up the food, the sugars and the amino acids combine, they form hundreds of different products, and the umami flavor is one category. The amino acid glutamate is very important because it activates the umami taste receptors.
Uh-huh.
And real meats contain glutamate because it's found in real proteins, in the proteins of meat. It's released during the protein breakdown during the cooking of the meat. And even if the meat is aged, it also releases that. Since most fake meats do not contain glutamate, the taste has to be added back. The way they do that is with soy sauce or tomatoes or mushrooms and other umami-rich foods. So that's how they get that meaty, desirable taste.
Well, what was your experience?
I felt it tasted like the foods that they were saying it was. It wasn't at 100%, because if I really broke it down, I could say, nah, this is not quite duck or this is not quite chicken, but it was certainly close enough that I felt incredibly satisfied.
The way things are going on this planet, there are so many of us that we better attend to these kinds of things, don't you think?
I think so.
And if you also think so, be sure you attend to
the food guys.